This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me...
Joe Hollander.
Yep, okay, and I am Stuart Burks. Now, Joe, you have had a lot of involvement in work on defence heritage. What does that mean? How did that get started and what does it do?
Thanks, Stuart. Yeah, it's been going for nearly 5 years now. It started way back in 2015 after we managed to resurrect the Palmerston North Returned and Services Association. That relaunched back in, from memory, I think it was around May 2015. And it was after that occurred, the mayor of Palmerston North, Grant Smith, came to me and asked me if we could set up some sort of an organisation that could coordinate a lot of the defence heritage activities, and in particular, the input from New Zealand Defence Force assets at Lindsay Camp and RNZAF base Ahakia. So we got a group together later in 2015 and then put a proposal to the City Council in February 2016. And at that stage, Council approved the formation of the group, our terms of reference and, you know, roles, goals and everything else. And that's really where it all started. And it seems to have been growing, you know, quite profusely ever since that time.
Okay, so who was involved in that?
Well, we had a number of organisations. We had representation from the 1st New Zealand Brigade and Army organisation out at Linton Camp, from RNZAF base Ahakia, Massey University, the Māori Battalion Hall Trust Board, also the Engineer Corps Memorial Centre at Linton Camp. We had a representative from the Central Business District in Palmerston North, the Palmerston North RSA, City Council, Te Manawa, and a number of other peripheral and supporting organisations. Since that time, we've had numerous other organisations like Manawatu Chamber of Commerce, Central Economic Development Agency, and so on, join the team.
Okay, so it wasn't really coming from nowhere. There's a lot of activity and groups you could tie in, and it's just coordinating, really, is it?
Yeah, I think there's been an element of activity going on in Palmerston North simply because of it being a defence hub, if you like. But it was in a very ad hoc and you know, uncoordinated manner. So what we wanted to do was to become the sort of collection point, conduit or clearinghouse for all related advice and communications on defence heritage. And so when we set up, our principal objective was to provide advice to the City Council, community groups and the local community at large on military heritage and history, covering things like local military heritage and history, significant activities and events, relevant anniversaries and commemorations, defence procedures, protocols, and access and a conduit to other relevant points of contact. We had what we called our five C's, which really was what we were there for. And so therefore these five C's covered things like coordination, continuity. I'm just trying to rack my brains. Yeah, here we go. Basically, communication, connecting, continuity, coordination, and community. Those were the five C's that we were to set up as part of our purpose.
Am I right in thinking that you were conducting this as a military exercise then, just looking at the style of it?
Yes.
Well, you could say that, Stuart. I think given my previous service in uniform and certainly those others that we had around the table, I guess you could say it was approached like a bit of a military exercise. But, I mean, principally we were there to look after things like remembrance and commemoration, heritage protection, education and building awareness, but it seems to have grown a little bit since then.
Yeah, okay. So what sort of activities have you been, do you do the activities, you coordinate them, you promote them, what's the actual role?
Well, rather than being a doing organisation, although we do get roped into a lot of hands-on, we really wanted to remain as an advisory and coordinating body. Otherwise, we were going to get too bogged down in the nitty-gritty of it all. But I guess to give you an example, our meetings are held monthly. Every quarter, we have full group meetings, that is, with all of the organization's representatives present. The intervening meetings tend to be just for the core group, which is essentially the likes of Linton, Ahakia, Massey, the City Council, City Library, Heritage Team, and anybody else that wants to turn up. But we tend to try and use those core group meetings to carry on the business each month. Our business seems to fall into a number of key categories. Firstly, major events, then things like anniversaries and commemorations, memorials, signage and trails. Then we look at things like military heritage and history presentations, city planning, conferences and forums. And then, focusing on all of our representatives from all the various organisations who are part of the group.
Okay. So could you give some specific examples, some of the things that you do? Like I see you're down for Anzac Day 2020. So what would you do in relation to that?
Yeah. Well, even though a lot of these activities have been cancelled as a result of the coronavirus, essentially what we were doing was looking after the coordination of our Anzac Day and also our Armistice Day commemorations in Palmerston North. We're one of the few cities in New Zealand where both events are commemorated formally. They tend to be very popular. So certainly for this Anzac Day, trying to bring the program for Anzac Day together and bring it to the community is a major exercise. We also have what we call the Palmerston North Armistice Day and Anzac Day organising committee, which is something else that I happen to chair. We have a formal agreement with the City Council to do this. And this is where we gather in all of those organisations who are involved in the Anzac Day and Armistice Day commemorations with the likes of the Dawn Service and civic service and any of the other activities on the day. We also look at other things like the Explore Esplanade Day with Defence Force being involved with the displays that occurred last month and was highly successful. We also had the New Zealand Military Tattoo that was going to take place but has now since been cancelled. And the tattoo also had wraparound events such as the Battle of the Bridges, which was a competition and improvised bridging that was going to take place in the square on the 31st of March involving about 20 secondary schools from around the region. And there are a number of other related wraparound events, activation events for the tattoo. Yeah. Some of the other things we've got on our list is the 175th anniversary of the New Zealand Army, which occurred this month. But that will obviously have to be put on or put off until later this year. Yeah. We've also got the city count, the Palmerston North City's 150th anniversary. The sesquicentennial is going to be over the 2020-21 period. And whilst the mayor is chairing that particular planning group, he wants to have some sort of military heritage input and involvement. So that's just in the major events area.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we're just going a bit more into some of these, like the Anzac Day and Armistice Day, so you run them, you coordinate them, or you just have some involvement?
I suppose we coordinate them through the linkage with the, you know, the Palmerston North Anzac and Armistice Day Organising Committee, which the advisory group coordinates, if you like.
Okay, so the Palmerston North Defence Heritage Advisory Group is an umbrella group over all of these smaller ones, basically.
Yeah. And because of all the connections between the likes of the RSA, Linton and Ahakia, that enables us to do it quite effectively, rather than it being a whole series of separate organisations.
Okay. Now, you've been around then, so for about the past 5 years, you've been in existence and able to do this, but these events have been going on for much longer, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I think, certainly when you look at Anzac Day, with the demise of the original Palmerston North RSA back in 2012, it went into receivership, and as a result, the City Council wanted to carry on commemorations, but their format and organisation was becoming a little bit ad hoc.
So previously it had been the RSA driving it, was it?
Yes, yeah, in conjunction with the City Council. But okay, when the RSA went down the tubes, the Council tried to pick it up with, you know, various ex-RSA members, and it became a little bit disjointed and a little bit dysfunctional. And so with the advent of the RSA being brought back online, it was an opportunity to formalise things, change the format around to suit. I had numerous meetings with the Mayor and responsible councillors to try and get a format back which suited everybody and also met the requirements of commemoration for those events. And we virtually worked from there, you know.
What sort of numbers would you get to these events?
Well, it seems to be growing every year. When we kicked off, it was the centennial year in 2015, and that was probably one of the bigger turnouts that we got in Palmerston North. But nowadays, like last year at the Dawn service, they reckon it was at least 10,000 in attendance.
Now, in the square, you mean, or...?
And that was just at the Dawn service in the square.
And that would be, what, 6 in the morning?
Yep, 6 o'clock. And
was it largely a large number of school children? They're talking about young people getting far more aware of these things now.
Yeah, it was right across the board. We also had a lot of people coming from out of town. It's interesting, we get the sort of feedback that over the years, they've been quite impressed with the services that are being held in Palmerston North. And as a result, we were having people coming up from Wellington and the Kapiti Coast to attend our Dawn service here in Palmerston North.
You know, that's very impressive. But what would you say the distinctive features are?
I think the format, it's traditional, but it covers all bases.
So a traditional format would be what?
Well, the order of service, if you like, what we actually try and put into the service. There's a balance between input by young and old. We try and get gender diversity in there wherever possible. I don't know, it's hard to say, but if you look at our order of service, which we've developed over the years, it seems to follow a particular theme that people feel comfortable with and feel that it gives the occasion the appropriate right feel, if you like.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, our biggest challenge is with the crowds getting bigger and, yes, more young people participating. The square's not getting any bigger and the trees are not getting any smaller. And so things like sight lines, everybody wants to connect with the cenotaph. But as the numbers grow, it's a real challenge to, you know, try and accommodate everybody.
So despite the size of the square, it's still not big enough.
Yeah. Well, we can't expand the size of the square. But, I mean, that's for the Dawn service. Dawn service seems to be the most popular. With the civic service, if it's during a weekend, the civic service at 9 o'clock in the morning is certainly nowhere near as big as the Dawn service. But we can get anything up to 4,000 or 5,000 for a Dawn service during the week. A civic service during the weekend.
So what's meant by a civic service?
Well, right. this is the community service. The Dawn service is normally limited to RSA members, veterans, members of the Defence Force, police, fire service, and so on, whereas the civic service is an open community service so that anybody can parade, lay wreaths, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So there is a difference between the two, but because of the significance and I guess the somberness of the Dawn service, that is the most popular, even though it is only limited, or the parade is only limited to members of the Defence Force, veterans, RSA members, and so on.
Are you saying that there's the parade with certain participants, but a lot of other people come to observe as well?
Correct. Yeah, just seems to be a feature here in Palmerston North over the last 4 or 5 years that has grown with popularity, and attendance gets bigger and bigger every year.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. And Armistice Day, what happens with that?
Well, Armistice Day on the 11th of November, you know, the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. In the past, it's been a little bit wishy-washy, if I can put it that way. It hasn't been quite so formal, but the city wanted to make that a major event, a major formal event. And so we've put a similar order of service together, again with appropriate representation and addresses. Because it's not a public holiday, certainly if it's during the weekend, we can get quite a big turnout. If it's during the week, we've had anything up to 1,500, 2,000 turn up for it. And it's still an event. What we also do is, following the parade and service in the square, we normally have a community morning tea that's hosted by the mayor, you know, in the conference and function centre. And then later in the day, we'll have an evening public lecture presentation by a keynote speaker about a military history topic. And they tend to be quite popular.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because there's just that the military, with Army and Air Force, both have a significant impact on Palmerston North, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do, definitely.
Okay, and there's a sort of special relationship, would you think?
Yeah, very, very much. Apart from the fact that I also, you know, work at the Engineer Corps Memorial Centre out at Linton Camp every week, I have a pretty close relationship with the two commanders and their staffs, and we've got a very good working relationship, and they support us extremely well.
Yeah, that's good. Now you mentioned the tattoo as well.
Yeah, well, that was something that we put to council back in 2016 as an event that we should hold as part of the World War 100 program. People don't realise that those that survived World War One, many of those survivors didn't actually come home until 1920, right through to sort of 23, 24. And so we wanted to see if the country was actually going to run some sort of a commemorative event, associated with the return of the survivors, if you like, and also recognise the sacrifice that those who didn't come home made, for the country and for the community. Well, nobody else seemed to be wanting to do something like this, so we suggested to the city council, why don't we run a military tattoo, a major national event, And it was originally going to be in April last year. But as a result of the mosque attack in March last year, it was postponed. And so we were working towards having it again on the 4th of April this year. But unfortunately, it's been cancelled. This event was going to involve somewhere between 600 and 800 performers, many of them members of the Defence Force, all of the Defence Force bands, you know, the Navy, Army and Air Force bands, a lot of Kapa Haka groups. There was going to be formal pilfery to welcome honoured guests and so on, and also something to commemorate the Māori Battalion, because we have a very close association with military activities that occurred both at Awapuni Racecourse and the Palmerston North Showgrounds during World War One, and then the showgrounds in World War Two was the formation point for the 28th Māori Battalion. They were actually formed here in Palmerston North back in May 1940.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of local history associated with that, and the intention of the tattoo, which was originally to honour our homecoming heroes, got changed slightly to honouring our Defence Force heroes, so that it covered all of our military service, if you like, during all conflicts from sort of the Boer War right up until the present day, regardless of whether it was in combat operations or peacekeeping, keeping the peace and so on and so forth, you know.
Okay, so all those plans are sort of in place, and although it's been canned for the moment, we can expect to see that happening at some stage in the future, do you think?
Well, I think certainly the City Council might consider, as part of their long-term plan, still holding some sort of a tattoo event, given the fact that, you know, we've spent a lot of time and money and effort in putting the plan, the script and the whole process together now. And after two attempts, it would be sad not to see something occur, even if it's going to be later in the year or next year or whatever.
Yeah. Is it designed just as a one-off, or I suppose you try it once and see?
Yeah, last year it was going to be held on two evenings, but when we had to postpone that, it became a little impractical, so it was decided to focus just on the one night as a one-off event.
Okay, but you wouldn't be thinking of, say, every year or every 5 or 10 years or something else?
No way. You just couldn't put all of that resource into an event on an annual basis. I think our recommendation to the council was that you'd probably only put it on once every 10 years if you were lucky. But you intersperse the intervening years with other events, as we've already got planned. When I come to talk about things like the anniversaries and so on, we've got a number of things planned over a five-year period that wouldn't be quite so resource intensive.
Yeah. Now, you did mention as well wraparound events and Battle of the Bridges. That sounds quite interesting. How would that work?
Well, the Battle of the Bridges was really great. We did do this last year, and it proved to be very, very popular. We had the engineers from Linton Camp look after it, and it's based on military history once again. This is a bit of military history that goes back to quite a long time ago, back in around about 1906, 1907-08, the Wellington Engineer Volunteers used to come up to Palmerston North a couple of times a year and perform what they called military tournaments in the showgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And these would be, you know, parade, skill at arms type demonstrations, competitions, improvised bridging and so on. And out at our museum in Linton, we've actually got photos of a November 1908 competition in the showgrounds where they were actually doing improvised bridging. And they also had the Scots Cup, which was the trophy for the winning team. So what we decided to do was to get the engineers from Linton Camp, from both the School of Military Engineering and the 2nd Engineer Regiment, to run something similar for secondary school students, where they go through a series of competition lanes using selected materials to bridge these obstacles and gaps. And the winning school gets awarded the a replica of the Scots Cup. And I think last year it was Manukura was the winning secondary school. And, yeah, so they got presented with this beautiful silver cup.
So is that the first time it was on?
Yes. Yeah, that's the first time it's been held.
And how many schools were involved?
Well, I think they put an invite out to about 20-odd from sort of Rangitiki right through to the Tararua. I can't recall exactly how many schools, but there are about 200 students together with all their supporters, and they had an absolutely brilliant time.
I could imagine. Those things often grow, don't they? You have one or two, and then more and more schools want to come in. So did the schools have any training in this? Did some of you people go out and give them training?
No, none whatsoever. They just turned up on the day and, you know, were briefed on what the requirement was, and off they went.
So was it a complete shambles, or they managed to organise themselves?
Oh, some of them did exceptionally well. I'm sure the army recruiters were keeping an eye out for some potential recruits. But while they were actually performing, we also had the army fire service there squirting a bit of water around at them, and you know, flower bombs and pepper bombs and cut grass and coloured sand and so on, sort of thrown around just to add to the effect. And they just so thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great.
Oh, I could imagine that. No, that sounds very good.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the other wraparound events, we were going to have what they called the sounds and salutes in the square on the afternoon prior to the tattoo, and that was going to be a sort of like a festival with the military bands involved and so on. Plus the heritage team at the library were also going to put on a talk by a military historian. I think it was Barry O'Sullivan was going to talk about military uniforms and so on the following Friday, but following Sunday. But unfortunately, all of that's been cancelled.
This is part one of two. Listen next week for part two. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.